This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
You're listening to Surreal Talk, a look inside the world of cults, conspiracies, and the paranormal.
Something's not right, man. Something's not right. Something's bullshit here, and I don't believe it.
Honestly, this crazy shit could be completely possible.
Disclaimer, we reserve the right to be wrong, ladies and gentlemen. You think you know the whole story? Think again.
Now your hosts, Eric and Everett.
Welcome to Surreal Talk, a look inside the world of cults, conspiracies, and the paranormal, a lineupmedia.fm production, and we are back. We are back this week, just as we are every week, with the exception of last week. So
we are back again, every time.
Yeah, every time. So Everett and Eric, you know, and as you can see, we have two guests with us, the infamous Alex. He hasn't been on in forever, beloved guest of the show.
We'd have to look it up, but I think it's been close to a year since Alex has been on.
Really?
Wow. Well, it's been that long. Thanks for letting me back.
Oh, of course.
I mean, it was never us.
Yeah, we invited you whenever you wanted. Times. We love you.
Yeah.
And then also we have Ocho. We have Ocho Man here from Behind the Eight Ball, Ocho Podcast. Can you tell everybody about yourself, Ocho?
Man, before I get to that, it was great having you on my show, too.
Oh, yeah. I had a lot of fun. That was great. Ocho's show is all kinds of fun. He doesn't stick to parameters like we do here at Surreal Talk with topics. He does all kinds of cool stuff. So, yeah, that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, that show is actually available on our regular podcast feed. If you wanted to hear that show, just look in on your podcast feed and you can find it. It's pretty
good. Yeah.
Ocho Man Behind the Eight Ball. And I'm very happy to be here, by the way.
Right, we're
because,
happy to have you.
This is the kind of shit that everyone should listen to during Halloween.
Right.
Sometime late night, early morning, but with like people wrapped around the fireplace or something.
Here's a little interesting tidbit about the show. This show is actually a spinoff of Behind the Eight Ball.
Really?
So this show started, Nick of Time, was a co-host on Behind the Eight Ball. And they'd always talk conspiracy stuff, and he was always the crazy guy on that show. And he spun off his own conspiracy show and, you know, did that for 14-ish episodes, and then we took over. So technically, Surreal Talk, down the line, is a spinoff of Behind the Eight Ball.
Wow, nice.
You guys, so thank you. The grandfather.
The granddad. Granddad Ocho. The cool grandpa
this show is definitely cool, though.
Thanks, man. We have a good time doing it.
For sure.
So last year, also, we kind of did not really a dual show, but we did hang out on Halloween. We visited a local ghost hotspot, haunted area. The McPike Mansion up in Alton.
Yeah, that was part of our show, too.
Yeah.
That was Behind the Eight Ball.
That was a
great
show.
We actually recorded some stuff. We never bothered to release it, though. It just came out like
crap. We did video and audio, but
they came up with real videos of the ghosts there, and the CIA bust in, took all the videos, and now they're not.
Don't tell them that, Alex. Fuck.
Again.
No, I forgot to turn on the sound on the camcorder for one. I killed all that.
Oh, yeah.
That was a bummer.
I tell you what, though, man. How beautiful was it?
It was a great time, man. The atmosphere was excellent for it. You know what I mean?
Did you guys actually hear or see anything, though?
I don't think we did, but just that whole... You did, too?
I did. I saw
nothing. Oh, you didn't. Yeah, but, you know, just that whole lightning hitting it was raining bad. It was lightning everywhere. It had the perfect vibe, though.
Yeah, the experience was excellent, regardless of whether we saw or heard anything paranormal.
If you
want
to go to a spooky night to go to a house,
but it was cool. There was the whole. We did the basement with the seance, the lights off in this basement of this house. I mean, it was a really neat experience. It really was. It was cool.
I forgot we went through a whole seance.
We did all kinds of stuff.
Were you in on the seance as well?
He set it up.
Yeah. I had to see something.
It was like the whole pentagram in a circle.
Oh, she didn't go that far. She was a medium. We had a real medium. She's a working medium.
Okay. Yeah,
that was neat.
I've never been to anything like that. What kind of shit was she doing?
She just talked to him, basically.
She said there's a lot of ghosts around and stuff. So, I don't know if I believe it, but it was definitely a good vibe that you got away from everything from outside the world.
Oh, so you kind of isolate yourself in this new reality for a while.
Yeah, wouldn't you? Yeah.
I think you can accept ideas in that sort of situation that you wouldn't normally, you'd pass off as not possible. But in that sort of situation with the crowd and the atmosphere, the gloomy, the stormy
the
night, you're
off.
In a known haunted house.
No
the
billboards.
Most famous haunted house. You know what I mean? And yeah, there's zero light. You're in a basement, dark. It's zero light. And, you know, maybe it's just the experience, but
it
was
the skeevies.
I mean, it was cool.
You did.
I'll tell you what: if that medium wasn't real, she definitely did some research because she. It's not that like
I don't know, man. That guy was. He told us the whole story. He did his whole little thing. Oh, there he is in the front door. You see him,
and Henry.
Henry, that
Everett,
was his name.
I remember Everett immediately.
How the hell do I remember that?
Everett immediately, the naysayer that he is, was like, that guy said it was 1864, and he said he's got glass in his whiskey. He couldn't make ice back then.
He's got ice in his whiskey. He said he had ice in his whiskey. I mean, come on,
I'm
man.
Like, God damn it, Everett.
Well, you got to pick everything apart just because it's fun.
How did you know that?
I mean, they had ice houses back then. Maybe they had somebody bring him a big block of ice and he had some. It's possible,
well,
I guess.
Yeah, they brought it down from up north and stored it all year. What's the problem?
Yeah, you didn't watch the Three Stooges?
They can their snow at wintertime.
I watched Frozen. I know how they get the big blocks of ice from and bring them down from the mountain. But.
Frozen? The Disney movie?
Yeah. I have a daughter.
Okay.
I mean, wasn't there one that the Argentine or some Peruvian, some South American team ate each other?
Oh, they were in that was Alive. That was
the movie Alive, yeah.
Alive,
it was the Uruguay.
Oh, that's it.
Rugby
team, yeah.
Uruguay rugby team.
Why do they even have snow in fucking South America?
When you're up in the Andes, those mountains are pretty high.
Ah, that's true, true.
Yeah. I tell you what, the eating people is about the scariest thing in the world to me. Like the inspiration for Moby Dick, there was these sailors that were sailing. They were running out of food, but there was islands with natives on them, and they were so scared that these natives were going to eat them, they wouldn't go to the island. Well, then half of them killed the other half and ate them.
Ate them anyway, huh?
And became cannibals themselves, just so they wouldn't be eaten by cannibals. It was a pretty outrageous story.
That wasn't in the movie.
No. That guy that wrote the book, Herman Melville, that was the inspiration he pulled for making Captain Ahab. Anyway.
Man, I tell you, that's got to be the worst feeling in the world. Like, where's the first part that you go for? Here, we're talking about this Halloween episode. This
have
scary
I killed
shit.
The person?
What's the first part you're going to eat, fellas?
Leg calf.
Leg
before
calf?
You cut
calf
them,
does seem nice.
Who do you eat first?
Like, if it was us four one. On a boat, and when I had to pick one of you guys to kill and eat?
Could I just say, if I die, you could eat me?
That's
how
fine.
About that?
Right, don't kill me, but if I die, you can
if
eat
I
me.
Die,
I
you guys could have
that's
going to
be obvious, because you're dead and we're hungry. So, permission
oh,
or not.
Who do we kill is what you're thinking.
That's what
I'm thinking. Who's got the most tasty...
We're in
muscle.
Our raft.
Well, it's going to be me or Big E. I mean, you guys are coming at most likely you're coming after me.
Right. Well, we're looking for meat, and you got more. We're going to eat it.
Son of a bitch.
Well, Eric and I have the whole we're brothers thing going on, so.
So, yeah, you guys will be the last.
Either which way, one of you guys are going to want to team up with us because then we kill the other one and eat you, and then you're all alone with still the two brothers, so you guys are both fucked.
But we're kind of waiting.
Because we're eating the whole.
Yeah, I mean, we're banking on the island being found.
Maybe you are. I'm hungry.
Yeah.
I'm not waiting.
I'll make me an Ocho burger right now with cheese.
It's just tourniquet.
As disgusting as cannibalism is, does it take it to another level if it's incest
another
cannibalism?
No, there's
that's
no
like eating so. Yourself. Almost.
Yeah,
no,
like eating your brother. Is
know,
that worse than eating a stranger?
No.
Oh, no, I'd rather eat the stranger, dude.
Well, yeah.
I'm not eating my brother.
See, it's even worse if you're eating your own insides.
I couldn't even take you eating my brother. If I seen you eating my brother's fucking hand or finger, I'd be like, you motherfucker, put that back down.
Put it, no, like a dog, no.
Drop put it down.
Drop that
smack
shit.
Smack him
no.
on the nose.
No.
Now, you could use that finger south. As a bait. To stick in the water. I don't mind that. Catch a fish. Then you give me back that finger.
Yeah, and half the fish. Son of a bitch.
So we wanted to talk about some ghost stories today. Ghost stories themselves, though, they've existed since recorded history. There's Egyptian ghost stories that were written in hieroglyphics, basically, that talk about life after death of, you know, the happenings of ghosts after they die. And Chinese, there's recordings of Chinese ghost stories and everything. Whenever I was going through my research, I found a bunch of ancient ones, but none of them really seemed that great to me. They didn't really translate to today's culture. But what I did find was several lists about the most creepiest ghost stories that you'll ever believe. And the one that really stuck out to me was the story behind the movie The Haunting, which I've never, or not The Haunting, The Conjuring.
Yeah, I saw that.
You saw The Conjuring?
Gnarly.
Oh, scared the shit out of me.
So that's
very scary movie.
That's apparently based on a true story.
That's what scared me more when I seen that, is that based on a true story. I'm fucked. I'm not. I hate true story fucking scary stuff.
So what the story behind that is, this family, the mother and father, Roger and Carolyn Perron, they bought the Arnold Estate in Harrisville, Rhode Island in December of 1970. So there's a lot of history behind this old farmhouse. It's all the way from, let's see when it was built, 1736. So it predates the country itself by 40 years.
Damn.
Way old. I'm reading this information from a website called ParanormalScholar.com. And I'll just read it off the website because they can do way better than my retelling of what I've read from there. So it says, when the Perron family moved into the Arnold Estate of Harrisville, Rhode Island in December of 1970, they were given just one piece of advice by the previous occupants. For the sake of your family, leave the lights on at night.
Is that a scary voice or is that Obi-Wan Kenobi? Because I couldn't tell.
It was, hey, how was that again?
For the sake of your family.
Okay.
For the sake of your family.
There you go.
Oh,
fuck
shots.
Yeah.
Leave the lights on at night.
Leave the lights on at night.
That's pretty good, man.
No shit.
So the move to the 10-bedroom house had been motivated by Roger and Carolyn Perron's desire to lead a quiet life in the country with their five daughters. Their new home had been built in 1736 and sat on 200 acres of land. That's a shit ton of land. So certainly, it seemed more than suited to the task. However, quiet life was far from what they would have over the next few years. The haunting began almost immediately. At first, the spirits were largely friendly towards the Perrons. The children, the five sisters, Andrea, Nancy, Christine, Cindy, and April, were the main focus of the friendly apparition's attentions. They would, in fact, grow very fond of the two spirits. One of the entities was claimed to be the benevolent ghost of Mrs. Arnold, who was reported to have tucked the girls in at night and would kiss them on the forehead. The other was Johnny Arnold, the boy who was said to have hung himself in the attic of the secluded farmhouse in the mid-18th century. So fond of the boy spirit were the girls that they lovingly nicknamed him Manny. He was said to play with their toys and watch the sisters as they played outside. So that's an interesting thing. They've got first the original family haunting the house, that they were friendly. The mom, the original Arnold mom, took care of the children. And the son played with the daughters enough where they named him.
And these, how many people died there?
Well, they told the story of just the two that died there so far.
Okay.
So, going on, the family in general especially welcomed what they called the sweeping ghost. This spirit's presence would only ever be heard from a distance, the sound of a broom shuffling against the floor. Whenever the family would go and investigate, they would find the broom leaning against the wall with a neat pile of dirt next to it.
Ooh.
This is one of the least likely things I thought about the story. It's like, okay, now this sounds like something you just make up and add flavor.
I don't know. That sounds to me like maybe they heard some mice running across the floor.
Could have been anything.
A broom sweeping, that's not a really distinctive sound.
And I wouldn't really mind a son of a bitch sweeping my right. kitchen sometimes right. if you wanted to do that, because my wife has me do all sorts
of things. If that's the worst thing the ghost got doing, then
sweep
for
away.
It.
Yeah. Sweep away.
No shit.
It goes on to say, however, as time went by, it became apparent that not all the spirits on the estate were friendly. Most mornings at 5:15, spirits who smelled of rotting flesh would visit the sleeping family to lift up their beds, tossing aside whoever were in them. The parents also claimed that they to have encountered demonic forces at the farmhouse who would pull on the girls' hair and limbs during the night. Banging doors and disembodied cries were also a regular occurrence. One night, the family supposedly heard a voice that told of seven dead soldiers buried within the walls of their home. Man, that's messed up.
And this is that house?
Same house.
Is that house still up?
Yeah, there's pictures of it. The lady lives there, really asks that people, nobody come and visit, because she has shit tons of people who've seen the movie The Conjuring and keep trying to come see the Arnold house.
And she doesn't want anyone in?
No, she actually let the show Ghost Hunters come in like 2004, 2005.
How'd that go?
They had a door bang shut, and there were some other noises, which surprised the lady who owns it now, but basically that's it.
Wait a minute, surprised?
Because she hadn't actually herself seen anything.
Anytime you move into any house from the 1700s, there's some shit in there.
Right.
That's why I want these guys to build me a house now. I don't want to go into, hey, well, honey, I just found this a 1920 house, and it's like, no.
Yeah, 17 people have died in that house.
I got it at a good price.
I don't know. If you start hearing slamming doors and creeping noise and shit like that, that would be terrifying. But I've just never experienced that before.
No, I hear
you. Oh, I have.
You've had some spooky shit happen?
Well, when I tell you what, when this show gets going, man, is what got me in today.
This is what got me in
when he mentioned that.
Well, after Everett's done, we'll do the Ocho and Everett stories because those are pretty good.
Sure. However, these occurrences, or however horrible these occurrences were, there was one entity that made the rest pale in comparison. These events were supposedly so terrible that Andrea Perrin, now a grown woman, still refuses to talk about it in detail. Her only comment about this malevolent entity was this. Let's just say there was a very bad male spirit in the home with five little girls. So that sounds horrible, like the spirit raped them as they were kids? Is that what she's getting at?
Succubus, incubus, that sort
of
thing?
One of those two, incubus maybe?
That type of thing.
I'm kind of caught up in the story.
Yeah. So aside from these spirits, there was one which is now infamous, brought into the popular sphere by the horror film The Conjuring. So there we go. There's the tie-in. Her name was Bathsheba. Much of Andrea Perrin's adult autobiographical account is dedicated to this spirit. Bathsheba Thaler was born in Rhode Island in 1812. In her early 30s, she married Judson Sherman and gave birth to at least one known son, Herman. Bathsheba and Judson are believed to have had three other children, with all dying at a very young age. So there's a couple more, you know, spirits in the house. Can a spirit in front of a baby be benevolent? Like, if you don't learn language, can you be anything more than just an emotional spirit?
So you're talking about, can a baby spirit be an evil ghost? Is that
what
you're
asking? Sure. If it's innocent, how could it have ever got evil?
Because whenever it died,
Bible says you're born into original sin? I'm just saying, you're not born
innocent.
So until
you get baptized?
No, like
bing, bang, boom, baby.
Especially if there's dark magic involved. If this baby dies anywhere near an ancient Indian burial ground, it might just come as an evil, rotted corpse baby ghost.
You're nuts.
why is that ancient India? I mean,
well, it don't have to be. That was just an example.
You've seen Pet Cemetery about 1,200 too many
doctor.
Times, haven't you?
No kidding.
All right, let's go on here. From what can be gathered from public records, Bathsheba and Judson lived out their days at the old Arnold estate, both dying in the 1880s. Their son Herbert outlived them, dying in 1903. During Bathsheba's lifetime, there was one incident which marked the familial home out as a place of darkness, and it involved the death of an infant and the accusation of murder caused by an incision at the back of the head. The infant had been in the care of Bathsheba at the time, and her neighbors were very quick to accuse her of being a witch. Sadly, such an accusation was all too common a fate for any woman who was in any way associated with tragedy and attracted jealousy. After all, Bathsheba had much to make her neighbors envy. She was beautiful and had a husband who provided for her and a young boy on a private estate. So
it sounds like she was a witch, and they got the witch, and now the baby is evil dark witch baby.
Evil dark witch baby.
Well, it died with an incision to the back of the head, so obviously somebody murdered that baby.
In other versions of the story I'd heard, she had shoved a needle into the baby's brain in the back of the head.
Well, either way,
that's some dark shit.
She was doing some black magic, like we all do, and she had to sacrifice the baby.
Like we all do. Flag man.
I don't know. That's hard to prove, a witch. Hey, you're a witch. You know what?
No, man. Back in the Salem witch trials,
what year was
this?
1860s or so, you said?
When they died in the 1880s.
Can I say this, though? I don't really get into that aspect of the whole house or the past or anything like that. More as I get into someone moving into that house and experiencing all this shit. I know you're covering the background. I they could have had, like, a mass slaughterhouse in there. I couldn't give a rat's ass. I look at it, the guys that walk in, honey, I'm going to go get the stuff out of the station wagon, and the woman's alone, and you hear, like, get the fuck out of here right now. That's the type of shit that I want to know about.
Oh, geez.
A ghost is only good if there's somebody to scare, huh?
Exactly. Yeah.
But that's a good point. It's got to come from somewhere. You got to know where that ghost came from.
Oh, who cares? They're all the same.
Goddamn,
that's racist.
Pissed off after
that's
being.
Racist that's against ghosts. They all look alike to me.
Yeah. No kidding.
All in their white sheets.
Those lives matter.
Damn. Yeah. So, at one point, Ed and Lorraine Warren, you guys ever heard of Ed and Lorraine Warren?
I have.
They're huge in the ghost hunting world. They've had something like 20 movies made about things that they've investigated from, I don't know, I'd have to go through a whole bunch of them, but they've had 20-something movies. I mean, Amityville Horror itself had 17 movies made about it, and that was one of their things. So Lorraine, who was a clairvoyant, said she immediately sensed a dark spirit living in the house. She pointed out a small circular incision on the back of Carolyn's leg, identifying it as Bathsheba's handiwork. So somehow she knew the calling card of Bathsheba.
Huh.
She stated sounds that the like wound Bathsheba possessed the same characteristics as the one found drilled into the infant's skull, and that Bathsheba had indeed been guilty of the horrific crime. So I guess she did her homework beforehand, came in and was like, here's what you've got in the house from history, and it seems to be correct.
Okay, bro, but what about that? I mean, the comments we're seeing right now. What about that tree, that infamous tree that scared the shit out of? I mean, there was a tree in that Conjuring.
I haven't seen the movie.
Oh, you haven't seen the movie?
Uh-huh.
It was scary.
Was there, like,
shit.
Somebody hanging from the tree? That's the first thing.
Well, I don't want to give anything away.
No, go ahead. I mean, it'll probably be months before I watch it.
I don't know.
Well, I tell you what, it's almost like you have to see it. I can.
Right.
Eric, explain
but
it.
There was a hanging.
I remember.
Dude, scary movies. One time when I was little, I watched a scary movie. It was Friday the 13th, and ever since then, I'm terrified. I won't watch them. I'm too big a pussy to
watch. You won't watch horror movies?
I can't watch them. No. They scare me too bad.
Well, you haven't even seen a horror movie until you see The Exorcist.
Oh, well, I've watched that.
That's fucking
crazy. What do you mean you watched that?
It wasn't bad.
It
was boring.
Scary. Oh, no.
Boring.
See, ever since I got older, I guess I realized, oh, well, that movie, Friday the 13th, was just fake. It don't matter. So now every single scary movie I see is never scary.
Maybe that's how you cope with your irrational fear of scary movies, just by telling you that they don't matter. And
Yeah, you're a non-believer.
That's one thing I wanted to talk about, too. For Halloween, let's talk about fear. Halloween is a weird holiday. For most of our lives, we spend ourselves trying to not to get scared. Nobody likes somebody jumping out from behind the door and scaring them, or
watching a scary movie and getting scared,
or almost getting in a car accident, or actually getting in a car accident.
Right.
Until Halloween comes around, and then it's celebrated.
Right.
Well, I guess you can think of stuff like roller coasters. You pay to get yourself scared then. So what's the difference of fear on a recreational level versus a mortal level? I mean, when does fear stop being fun and become dangerous or become scary? Become real fear.
What do you mean, like thrill seekers, like adrenaline junkies?
Yeah, that's fear, but that's not fear. When does fear become like Halloween fear? You know what I mean?
I'm kind of taking what you're saying as in why does the mind accept this fear and is saying that it's okay to be scared.
I think,
but like, rest of the time, it's like, no, fuck you. We don't want to be scared.
I think it's whenever it's actual mortal danger. Like, you know, in a roller coaster, for the most part, you're 100% safe. Granted, the accidents happen.
Right.
You jump out of an airplane to do skydiving. You have that fear. But it's not the same fear as if your plane's going down and there's nothing you can do about it. You know what I mean? The plane might level out. But it's, you know, when you hit
the only
that
difference
air pocket,
is it's controlled fear, and you know that it's controlled fear.
I guess that's what it is.
Haunted
some
house,
people
you go
like
and
that.
You know it's controlled. You ain't really gonna get stabbed.
Any of you guys do anything that for fear? Like, do you like that feeling of like out of controlness?
The only thing I'll start this off. The only thing that freaks me out is on YouTube, and you see these like European kids or Russian kids or something, and they're on the very top of the building in Dubai or something, and then just casually walking like they're walking in the street, and you're like, dude, don't look down. You're I mean, it's
that
unbelievable. The fear factor is completely out of them, and I would just be embracing a bar, something that I couldn't move.
Right.
So let's think about it then, fear in the realm of ghosts. Whenever it's a completely different type of fear. It's not the fear of I'm going to fall. It's not the fear that someone's going to do me
physical,
injury.
It's not physical, is it?
It is a little bit. I mean, think about, okay, so we've all, when we were kids, I'm sure, remember that feeling, laying in bed at night and you hear something.
Well, you know what? That's my thing.
That's the real fear, because, again, you have no idea what's there. So it's a feeling of uncertainty. Even if you did know it's there, you don't know that you can handle what's coming at you. I mean, that's a crazy fear. It's the real fear of not knowing what's going to happen to you, I think, is that's real fear.
Mm-hmm.
The unknown.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. What do you guys think?
No,
I'm not scared of anything, so it
I'm down
really
with
matter.
It.
You're not scared of anything?
No, I'm just saying.
Whenever I would hear that noise, if you will, in the middle of the night when I was small, is problem solved. Blanket goes over the head.
Every time.
You're done.
That's perfect formula, yeah.
Did you guys ever hold your breaths? Just so whatever is there might not hear you.
Oh, you said they were hearing your breath at that.
You never know, man.
Oh, well, I had been playing hide and seek and like hiding from my brother and sister and do that. But no. I wasn't really scared.
Or hold your breath so you can hear every possible little detail of what's going on around you. You never did that?
I got trapped underwater one time, and I almost died, and that scared the hell out of me. That's a deep fear, but that's a totally different kind of creepy fear.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Well, if you want to get to our stories, man, because I tell you what, my story kind of goes with what you were just saying.
Well, oh, yeah? I was kind of going somewhere about it, though. The fear of death, I think, is what really has inspired all ghost stories. With the fear of death, nobody wants to die, and you want to believe that there's an afterlife. So whenever you think that there's a whole other plane of existence, of course there can be bad stuff coming out of that plane of existence and bad stories of life after death coming back to haunt people who are living. So I don't know. I always thought that's where it's from, but let's go ahead and start your story. I know you got a good one about something in Collinsville.
Well, no, that was that's not the one.
Well, hit me up.
All right, when we moved to this country from Beirut, Lebanon, when I was like a little kid, we went to New York. The town was called Binghamton, New York, and I still remember the road or the street, 34 Thorpe Street. That's where Dad seen a house, and he was there morning till night with his buddy, and they would just fix this house up, and we were staying at our aunt and uncle's house, and they would be there every day. Finally, after a year.
This place?
That's, Jesus Christ, that's very close to it. Yeah.
Right. I found it on Google Street View.
Okay. How did you find that?
I just typed that address you said into Google.
It's been remodeled, maybe?
Anyway.
I'm telling you right now, though, they put another house on top of it, but I remember.
They built a second story or something?
No. Well, it's getting creepier because 34 Thorpe Street went completely down. It got completely burnt.
Oh.
And that was in the future. But, that I mean, future by us leaving that place.
I got you.
Yeah.
So it happened after you guys left.
Yeah. So, anyway, parents bought the house. We moved in. And, I tell you, it was like the coziest thing. Upstairs, you'd hear squeaking and stuff. But there was an attic. There was an attic to this 34 Thorpe Street that I casually just walked up there one time. And I tell you what, I felt something behind me just trying to try. It felt really leery. I mean, it felt like I had to get the fuck out of there.
When you say attic, I picture like a pull string where the ladder folds down, kind of.
No, this is like stairs right going straight up. Oh. And they were stairs up there. So people lived in the attic in the East Coast a lot, too.
Okay.
anyway, one particular night, I'll fucking never forget this, man. And it was my sister sleeping on one side of the room, and I'm sleeping on the other, and we heard a door knock like that. Three big knocks on our door, and I'm like, "What? Did you hear anything?" And she goes, "No, I didn't hear anything." So she kind of blew it off. I knew there was something there. Then a second time around, knock. I mean, this is us little kids. Our parents would just walk in the door. Why is something knocking on my door? I said, "Did you hear that?" And she goes, "I heard that." I went to the door, opened the door, nothing. I went back to bed, turned the lights off, and this is when it got fucked up. Because about an hour later, there's a fucking skinny, frail-looking, shadowed body hanging in front of me. Just hanging. It was like a dead guy just hanging there.
Was it partially translucent? Could you see through it kind of, or was it?
It was all dark shadow. It was dark shadow of this, and you got lights coming in from the room from the light streets and all that. And when they hit, you know, this fucking shadow that I never, to this very day, I don't know what it was. And I ran to the light, turned the light on, and I told my sister there was a dead person in front of me, and she never believed me. And years went on, and then one time I'm sitting at the stairs. We had the whole wire thing back then, you know. Landlines weren't like you just pick up the top part and walk around with it.
Right.
We had that whole box thing to where the phone goes on. So anyway, I'm sitting on the stairs.
Corded.
What's that?
That cord.
Yeah, corded. The cords, yeah. I'm sitting on the stairs of this house coming down, and the big hallway's upstairs. Upstairs is my bedroom, and then on the side of that is the attic. The attic leads up and all that stuff. So anyway, I'm sitting there, and a ball rolls down the fucking stairs. The ball just rolls down the stairs, and I'm like, where did that come from? No, something had to push this ball. It's like one of those rubber basketballs. And it's like, that just didn't come out and start rolling down. Anyway, someone might say the wind picked it up or house shifts or something. Maybe they can say that too. But years went by, and we came to Granite City. We sold the house. And I asked my parents, I go, you know, I was always scared shitless, and you guys know that too. And they go, yeah, we knew there was something in there. And I go, all the times I ran to your room to say I'm scared, and you guys wouldn't believe me. You never believed me with the guy hanging in my. I said, who was in the house before us? And it was an old man that hung himself in the attic.
No way.
Yeah, 34 Thorpe Street, Binghamton, New York. Ugh. And that was one of my freakier.
Right.
Fucking stories, you know?
I can imagine. I know I've seen weird-shaped shadows before, and if they startled me, like when I was saying, I'd just hide when I was younger, but I would never get up and investigate them or anything, because I just
knew. I had to turn this light on. It wouldn't go away. I did exactly what you two said, except hold my breath. I had never heard that one. But
it's just fear when you're so scared you just...
Yeah, or you can't say something is what you... Yeah, yeah, well...
You hear it breathing even, or I don't know, it's kind of creepy.
After a while, though, you run to the light, you turn the light on, you're scared out of your mind. To this very day, I sleep with the light on now. I sleep with... lights like this. I don't, you know, it's not nightlight because I probably can't handle that either, but it's kind of like a light in that corner to where... I can see something all around this room.
Right. TV on for me, for sure.
No.
Gotta have TV on.
I can't have any light.
You sleep with the TV on
because
you're scared of the dark?
I'm not saying why I sleep with my TV on. I'm just saying I sleep with my TV on.
That's why?
Why are you making assumptions?
No, for me, I gotta have it completely dark because I don't want to see if there's something there. I don't want to see
it. Really?
Yeah,
it could be right breathing in your face.
It could be fucking right above your head. Oh, that would scare the shit out of me.
As long as I stay asleep and don't get out of bed, I'm fine. That's all I know.
You should see the poor ghost trying to fuck him up.
Oh man,
motherfucker won't move.
Yeah,
it's probably right,
it's too dark.
He's got to get me out of the house so he can go to heaven or whatever. But I just won't even look at it. It can't scare me at all.
Go to the light. Go to the light.
Can't keep haunting another guy.
Leave a lamp on next to the bed so they kind of get veered over.
Yeah, that was.
I was talking about that story you had told me on your show about driving.
About that, but that wasn't Collinsville. That was Belleville.
Yeah. Oh,
my bad.
Yeah, that was.
Yeah, when you said Collinsville, there's a place out in Belleville.
You're falling asleep at the wheel?
Oh, yeah. That was
a gnarly one.
I swear on my dead parents on this that, you know, it's the weirdest shit that I was in college. I'm driving home. I don't have, back then I had one of those Pintos, you know, and fuck, I couldn't pick up anything on the radio. Nothing. Everything was staticky. The only thing that you'd hear was, Jesus Christ is going to save you, but you got to
those AM religious stations.
Yeah, you got to get rid of Judas Priest. And I said, well, fuck you too. So I turned that, and then it's all staticky, and nothing's on. And, dude, it's on like that, half dead. I got a shit radio anyway. It's not one of those newer
digital,
and nothing like that. So, any case, I'm driving. I'm falling fucking asleep on Highway 51. Highway 51. There's one lane going one way, and the one lane coming that way, and that's it. There's no two, three lanes. In any case, I fucking fall asleep. I fall asleep, and out of the clear fucking blue, as crystal clear as the band is in my car, the doors pop up, Jimmy Morrison singing, "Keep your eyes on the road, your hands upon the wheel." That is the freakiest fucking thing, and I've told my family, I told my friends, and my friends say, "Well, hey, dude, you got Jimmy Morrison as your angel watching you." But I just think that something, some entity, some spirit was protecting me, and I know that it was their way of saying, "Get up and fucking watch the road, idiot, or you're going to fucking hit something or kill someone."
Higher power, maybe?
Higher power, for sure.
Some force intervened to put that, even that lyric of that song on, right?
Well, that's the whole thing. That's the whole thing behind that.
I mean, that is the craziest coincidence in coincidence history.
Ever. Yeah,
it can't. I'll never buy into that coincidence. This was pure.
Every fiber of my being wants to say.
Do you hear me? He's such a cocksucker. No, your experience.
Let me talk.
No, please, because I have wanted to try to figure this out 20 fucking years, that not having a fucking radio that worked. One, and two, the only thing I picked up was one station, and he's like, "Judas Priest is going to kill you, son." So let's hear it. I'm up for it.
Pretty much with every fiber of my being, I want to not believe it and think that it's coincidence or that you were crazy. But on the off chance that that actually happened, it's guardian angel shit. It's exactly what it is.
It has to be. I don't know other story that would match what happened.
I mean, at the end of the day, that's it.
Yeah, I totally believe that. I totally believe that. But then we, from religious purposes, we're taught that, well, the only thing that comes down here and runs the whole fucking place is the devil and his boys.
Right.
We're just kicking back and, we'll pray, we'll make everything right for you. But the
God's
bad.
Got a real Ivan Drago type of attitude, doesn't he? He's like, if he dies, he dies. He
but you're going to a good home, son. That's how he looks at it. Yeah. And so, you don't really want that place anyway. You want to come here.
God, I got run through a wood chipper. What the fuck? I bet that hurt like hell, didn't it? You're here now, though.
You're here, son. You got a lot of grass that just stands up. Yeah. You got your own wings. Look at that. I gave you a little extra wing side and a little feathers more. I gave you a little bit more love. I knew you went through some shit with that wood chipper.
No shit. I'll make you a higher rank angel. Don't worry, buddy.
Then don't get mad at me. I had this Abe guy. I told him to kill his son. That's not great. Come on. Take a joke, stupid. Get out of here. Wasting my time anyway. I got millions to look at.
Oh, man. Well, that was our incantation of...
God. Yeah. No, but Big E, you got to say that it was a little weird.
That's way weird. I mean, it's a crazy story without having been there and seen it. I mean, this.
Well,
I know I don't call myself a skeptical, but I have to go coincidence. But I believe that you believe it, and I believe that there's a chance that it happened exactly how you said it.
You believe it.
I tell you what, man, that was, to me, that was a changing point in my life to where I started then thinking, you know what?
You want to know why I believe that it's completely possible? It's because the story I've told 100 times on this show, and I'll probably tell it again today.
Yeah. Wait. Then just hang on. That Everett's story is why he believes it's plausible.
Right.
And I'm with it. That when you told me the other day on your show, I was like, holy shit, man.
Well,
that's cool.
I'm not done. I got one more that's fucking out there, and I want you guys' opinion on this. When we were in Lebanon, my mom has a best friend. Everyone lives in an apartment there. No one lives in little houses next door to each other. They're in an apartment, and my mom gets coffee. They drink coffee up and down, the gals do. And one gal tells my mom, "I had a bad dream last night that my son's plane hit the mountains over Syria." And she says, "Well, why do you care? Your son's not going anywhere. Actually, he's going to India. He just became a doctor. He graduated from American University, and they want him at India, and they want him on this plane. That was like in a week span, and she's had that dream twice now, reoccurring. My mom said, this to her: "If you don't, if you feel that bad about this, and Armenians are really superstitious, don't wake him up in that morning that he's got to get on this plane." She goes, "That's a great idea." I said, "She said." She'll get on another. He'll get on a different plane, and everything will be all right, right? And she goes, "Yeah, because I remember seeing the numbers on this plane too." And my mom goes, "Forget about it. Tell, don't wake him up. Let him go to sleep. Sleep through it." That fucking day, when he's supposed to be at the airport at 5 a.m., 6:55 or something like that, this plane fucking hits the mountains over Turkey, wow, around that area, going to fucking India or whatever. And she's like, "I saved my son."
She knew she had a premonition.
That's pretty crazy.
Story's not over.
No.
Because she goes to wake the kid up and the kid's dead.
What?
Oh, what?
The kid's dead.
That was like an M. Night Shyamalan twist.
Wait.
The kid.
Still in bed.
This guy died in his sleep. And it was like mom's way of protecting her son, but there was no way that boy was going to escape death.
That's final destination.
Yeah, say, is this
man.
Final destination?
I saw this movie, I think.
Well, if you do.
If that is true, that's terrible.
That's
terrible
crazy.
Coincidence. But that is a movie called Final Destination.
I don't think it was anything like that.
That's nuts. Though.
It's almost like you described the plot of
exactly. That movie to me is stupid. Be honest with you, every little thing like this cable suddenly gets up and starts wrapping around my neck.
That's outrageous.
It got really stupid there.
I don't know.
My favorite death in all of those Final Destination movies, that dude was sitting at the drive-thru and there's like a hill behind him up here and he's like, the drive-thru's on the side of the street and he's like in a convertible and there's a truck right here. Like this fucking big truck comes barreling down the hill, no brakes, brakes are out, hits this, punches the motor out of the front of that and then runs it right into the back of the guy and the thing chops his head.
I don't know. Shit. But like you were saying, if that there, she really had those premonitions. I know, like, I felt something strange, like it was protecting me before. This just happened recently when I wrecked my motorcycle. I didn't have a helmet on. Well, I went swerving, flipped sideways, and I skid along the curve or the concrete and rammed into the curb. But then right on the other side was a big mud puddle, and that's where my head was stuck. Right in that mud puddle, maybe half an inch, 2 inches at most from the curb. And it just covered my head in mud, you know, but I broke my arm, my ribs, and everything else. And the lady there couldn't believe I wasn't passed out or bleeding from the hedge because she was worried it was all covered in mud, but I didn't get hurt at all on my head. There's just no way that it could be so random to save my life.
Well, yeah, it's pretty nuts.
You guys are brothers. You guys are tight brothers.
Mm-hmm. I guess so.
If has there been ever a point to where one of you felt something for the brother that said, "Hey, something's going to happen to him on this or that," because you've seen it on twins, like one twin will.
I was thinking
feel
the Corsican
pain.
Brothers from Cheech and Chong.
Corsican Brothers, that was a great movie.
Yeah, that was.
Did you see that? Did you see that, Alex?
I don't think so, no.
It's good.
That's fine.
Like, I could slap Everett, and I'd feel it. Oh, shit. Or he could punch me, and it
hit. No, I've never had that of you. I've never felt.
No. I would say, if anything, Everett doesn't get in any trouble or anything, so no one really has to worry about him. If anyone would probably.
I'm not that I do anything illegal.
No, but we can, like, the finish each other's sentences thing. That happens. That's totally a thing.
Well, I mean, we grew up, we shared a room for our entire childhoods, more or less, till we were, like, teenagers. I mean, we spent hours every night talking after we were supposed to be in bed. We think alike, so I mean,
okay. But I'm saying, like, those twins that one burns the arm clear across in San Francisco, and the other person in Boston feels that.
You got a lighter?
Feels that?
Fuck off!
we'll burn Eric and see if I feel it.
How would I know that was coming?
I don't know, but you always.
The first thing that popped in my head is I'll burn myself and see if you feel it. But then I was like.
God, why the fuck you want to burn yourself?
I'll burn him, see if I feel it.
I've seen several reports of that same thing, though, that different cousins or twins would know something terrible just happened. I don't know why, so I just called. And again, they have evidence. They actually called within the 5 minutes or whatever.
At first, you want to think that's bullshit.
Luke and Leia, man.
But, well, then look at, like, in physics, quantum physics, they have that thing called quantum entanglement or spooky action at a distance.
Yeah, spooky action at a distance.
How a subatomic particle can be directly linked through some unknown process, or I'm sure some great physicist knows how it works. But you affect one particle, and no matter how far away, the other particle gets the same effect on it. So if that can happen in physics at such a small level, who's to say there isn't some sort of other way to the shit gets linked? You know what I mean? Links can happen.
So you're not calling it supernatural?
Well, I mean,
I think that
think about magic then. If you think of magic as just science that we haven't figured out yet.
There's a quote in there somewhere.
Yeah. What is it? To any advanced species?
No.
What? I think it was a Star Trek quote. Something like that.
No,
to any non-advanced species, advanced tech looks like magic.
Somebody in the chat's going to give it to us here in a second, but I think it was like it's indistinguishable. Any advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic. Any like new great giant leap in technology.
Yeah, if a guy came here and had something like this and pressed a button and made a fucking sandwich appear, that's going to seem like magic to me. But to them, it's probably science.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah, there's something to it.
So you think that there's some invisible force undetected, like the force from Star Wars?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe.
Let's get into it.
No, well, just akin some, to. Not
if there's
like
a force
that
could bind particles at any distance that we figured out is a true scientific thing,
right.
Then there's
them.
Plenty of shit that we possibly haven't figured out.
Oh, you know what? I just thought
that would be a greater power then. But you could so you could theoretically
could be
believe
nature,
in a greater power.
No, if it's ununderstood nature.
Just because we don't understand it makes it greater.
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess you could look at it that way.
It's Schrodinger's cat. Come on now.
You know what I just thought of? I just thought of if we were in Egyptian time, if we were us four, we've got
King Tut.
We can take back one thing and the king would say, you've got your own section. We're going to even build a pyramid after you. It's from the future, though. You're bringing something back from the future that's always, you could have generated left and right for this Egyptian king and the people. What would it be? And, I mean, that's, to me, I thought of, if the Egyptian king asked me, I'd fucking make ice. Because they're drinking fucking shit hot water every fucking day in Egypt. There's no such thing as ice cubes.
I'd probably give them a Twinkie.
You'd give a Twinkie?
Think about that. Think about that. They ain't never had no kind of processed sugar.
So you would keep making Twinkies?
Think about it, man. You can make Twinkies. They're used to eating rutabagas
rice.
And shit. You know, real bad, like Nile River food, crocodile.
Yeah,
meat.
You're right. Yeah, that gets
papyrus.
Fucking yucky.
They ate papyrus.
No, well, why don't you just give them, like, a science textbook and teach them how to read it, and then they could actually learn.
Then you wouldn't be needed.
Advanced technology.
Fuck that. I want them to think that I'm a witch doctor.
Oh, well, see, I didn't know that was the aim. Okay.
3D printer.
Yeah, I mean, I think Twinkies could get you in a lot of trouble in another
so
time.
You would be the witch doctor that produced Twinkies. I can see it. I can see it.
I mean, why not?
Me, again, I'm going to stick to my ice cubes. And you know what would really be good is Weatherman. Fuck, a Weatherman would be like, you are not just a fucker. You're a god.
You're a god if you can predict
that
the weather in ancient Egypt. No shit. That's
that will
awesome.
Kill you for that. You know? If you're not the pharaoh, pharaoh's the only one allowed to be a living god, okay?
Right. Well, so, I'll take second.
That's when you become pharaoh.
When you get like, what was it on that mummy movie? You know, the guy who played the mummy. What was the mummy?
Brendan Fraser.
No, the mummy, the bald bastard. Not a Nox on the Moon. Yeah, Imhotep.
Imhotep, yeah.
Yeah, then you're more or less the wizard of the pharaoh.
Don't
at that point. The grand vizier.
Ooh.
Wasn't that for what they called the dude in Aladdin?
Yes, he was the grand vizier.
Is that right?
Jafar?
Yeah, that's
Aladdin,
it.
You mean Oculus Inferno?
All right, let me. Here's another story I found online. This is from Reddit. Tell me what you guys think, if this is bullshit or not. My grandma lives in a very stereotypical horror movie house, small Midwestern town, white and old-looking home on a farm. She even has a chipped wooden Mary Nativity in the front yard. She also has a cemetery about a half mile down the road. I used to sleep in the room in the corner on the top floor, my aunt's room, and it had a wooden rocking chair in it. When I was younger, I would wake up and thought I heard it rocking, to the point where I would wake up my grandma and have to stay in her room. About 10 years later, my mom, aunt, and I were talking about how creepy my grandma's house was. My aunt goes on to talk about how when she was younger, the reason my mom and her ended up sharing a room was because she thought her room was haunted. She said she woke up one morning and the rocking chair was about 2 feet closer to the bed. And after that night, it would start rocking on a nightly basis at midnight.
Dude,
true, false,
that.
Bullshit, you think? It's got the every... It's not too outlandish to where I could, you know... But then again, why would a ghost ever just move a chair and rock a chair?
Jay says he would take nerve gas. Sorry.
About what?
To Egypt.
Why?
Conquer.
Slaughter.
Oh, that's what he learned how to make is nerve gas?
Yeah, he can make nerve gas.
What's he hoping to do? Stop the Israelites from leaving?
Hey, you know what? I'm thinking ice cubes, Twinkies, fucking weatherman. This motherfucker wanted to blow the whole place.
Yeah, he's thinking I'm going
to
start the Holocaust before they get back to Israel.
A little earlier.
No shit, they're not getting back to Israel on my watch.
Yeah, not on my watch.
Calm down,
damn
Jay. You guys want to talk about some horror movie shit too, or anything like that?
Why don't we do a part two so we can have a cigarette break?
You guys want to do a two-parter?
You guys want to do a two-part? We'll do another hour.
I'm in, man.
We'll do a 10-minute cigarette
break. I'm in for a couple hours with you guys.
All right, let's do a 10-minute break, and then we'll come back and do another hour.
All right, well, I guess that's the end of the first episode this week, folks. Visit our website, SurrealTalkPodcast.com. Make sure you vote in the poll, Team Eric or Team Everett. It's an obvious Team Everett situation.
Not really.
Right now, we're tied again, 173-173.
Debatable. Anyways.
Could I be the factoring vote here?
You shouldn't vote, though. I mean, you shouldn't vote. If you could, go to iTunes, download iTunes, and leave a review
of our podcast.
That's great. We're really getting up there in the numbers. Subscribe on TuneIn Radio if you're listening on there. Make sure you hit that little subscribe button or favorite or whatever they call it. And any kind of ways you can subscribe to us, YouTube, please do. That really helps us out. It gets us up higher in the rankings.
Check
more
out
listeners equals
page.
More cool stuff.
We have a Patreon account if you'd like to be a...
Surreal Talk. Patreon.com/SurrealTalk. It's kind of like a voluntary subscription service. If you want to give us $1 a month, $2 a month, $1 million a month, feel free. Right now, there's no rewards on our Patreon, but we've got a couple things we're thinking about doing in the future.
Oh, the guy that made Facebook just gave us like $2.5 million a month. He pledged because he likes.
Oh, Zuckerberg?
Yeah, I just made that up though. So.
Oh, that'd have been cool. That'd have been real cool. All right, everybody, we'll catch you in 10 minutes. Podcasters, just download the next episode and listen to it now. Catch you later.
Bye.
Please, wake up.
This has been Surreal Talk, a lineupmedia.fm production. Listen online at surrealtalkpodcast.com and subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and all major podcast outlets.
How come I know so much? What the hell is going on around here? Who are you people?
Join the conversation on Facebook and Twitter, and get all of our podcasts now at lineupmedia.fm.
I'm mad as hell! I'm not going to take it anymore!
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.